Hi, and welcome to Matrix Moments. Avneesh, it's great to do this with you again. Today's podcast is titled Gaming Plus, with an added footnote to founders that some games are companies, but all companies need to up their game. I thought that was a very creative title, Avneesh, and it's a very unusual topic, especially for someone of your vintage slash age, but it also sounds very similar to this older podcast that I'd heard, which is every company will be a fintech company one day.
Yeah.
So what gives and, what got you excited about doing a podcast on this topic? Yeah.
No, so great to be back. Actually, you and I have been doing this. Saloni has been helping us with all of this. I think this is now we are going to the deep end. Or out on a limb. And I would acknowledge the founders who keep sending positive feedback, including the latest one was Naveen Tiwari, which kind of makes one want to take more risk. The topic is inspired at two levels by A16Z. I have the utmost respect for them. And Andrew Chen in particular, I follow and read almost everything he does. So it is that every company is a fintech somewhere, company. embedded finance, right? And then we read Social Plus, and this idea was somewhere coming in my mind, and we'll talk about it. But that's where it came, that really every company needs to have an embedded game. And I think it has gotten me really excited, because it's also a topic I knew nothing about, and which will show up in as we talk. But also, because it is, I think, a little bit new, this content is not really out there. I think we'll over-index on examples. I think you and I are doing two today between this and profit pools. We'll over-index on examples. I'll tell you the trigger. And it's not in as logical an order, but part of it was obviously COVID. People started playing on House Party. People started playing games across Zoom. I have played poker on Zoom. So Zoom is on and I'm playing poker separately on an app. Then there was a deep dive. You and I did social commerce, commerce N.O together, for which I was reading up on PDD. And there used to be this concept of gamification for demand aggregation, because PDD is a group buying concept. And as we go through this, you'll realize all of these are gamification concepts. Group buying is a gamification concept, right? So there was that trigger. And then the ultimate trigger has been my kids. It's actually parenting, because everything, they believe I'm a very bad investor, because all the products they use, we have not invested in, right? Always trying to get them to use our consumer products and this and that. And then I wondered whether, are you pounding a square peg in a round hole, or should it be the other way around, right? So I think the fact that they are on games, the only thing I don't have to motivate them for is Roblox. Lately, Among Us, they are on Discord. They are, suddenly because of this COVID time where screen time was allowed a bit more, it just became, they were just obsessed. So that was a trigger. Then there was this Bank of America report, which actually really hit me, which was around Gen Z.
Yeah.
And I think we are missing a trick there. And then you and I spoke about video. So when you bring this all together, I think there is something big happening around us, not among us, but around us, or maybe among us, which I don't think we are understanding, that there is the why, which we just discussed about gaming and it becoming, everybody knowing about gaming and gaming kind of pervading our lives. And then the why now. I don't know if you watched that documentary, Social Dilemma, yeah. Which talked about, it looks like if we don't know about gaming, we are the ones being played, yeah. Right? And a lot of those triggers that they show in that movie are actually gamification. So I think that all came together. It became a topic of interest, and then asked for you guys to help with the research, and then and dove deep into it.
Yeah, no, I think COVID clearly has been a trigger in multiple industries. And I think you've spoken about how video and gaming have both, exploded. But, why now? Because, in some ways, those behaviors kind of existed before as well, right? It's not necessarily, just COVID linked.
Yeah.
So
some of it is coming together now, though, right? I think, and I have this view in general about, Maslow's hierarchy, which defines human behavior, applies across geographies and across people. It's just sometimes we'll say, you know, Indians are different from Chinese, we're different from Americans, we are not. At this, our just buying power and economic stage is different, right? What is the first spend people start doing as they become more wealthy?
Want to look better.
Okay, what's the second, what's the third? And you skipped food, which is fine, because that is a necessary spend.
Deliberately.
For people who don't know, Rajender is our foodie of the house who has three lunches, different types. It's entertainment, it's travel, and I think gaming kind of brings into it. We discussed in, so like I said, all of this is coming together. Video, we spoke about in commerce, N.O, that people want shop social plus from A16Z talks about entertainment plus shopping. So I think the why now really is all of these things coming together. It's not necessary. And like, if you just look at the market cap of Roblox, it's gone from 7 billion to 30 billion in the last 4 months. Discord, I think, is at 16 billion. I mean, these things are exploding. So I don't know if there is a real why now, but I do know that there's a lot happening. And this was more stop, step back, think, and put something around it.
Yeah. So I'll start with the basics then. So again, all of us have grown up on games, and all of us relate to it at some level. But what really is, you know, gamification? Like, again, we've heard of it in the context of social apps, you know, and what, you know, the social dilemma, I think, brought that out well. But when you're talking about gaming plus, it seems like you're talking about something broader.
Yeah.
Is it about game design and how to apply those learnings to different industries? Like, what's the framework?
Little bit of that, but I would say it's human psychology more than anything else. And the biggest learning, and we'll talk about this guy, but there's a guy called Yukai Chow. I don't know if he was at Google or somewhere. He was somewhere. He has done this work. We should be including the links. In fact, there is a course that he runs on Udemy on gamification. I just think it's brilliant. I think companies that are not doing this are missing out. But let's step back. What is this? This is not, it's the best way to describe it is human-focused design. Gamification is human-focused design because we have certain behaviors, intrinsics, extrinsics, which you, if you tap into, it can be very powerful. One definition that I saw that I like is, it's game design, so you mentioned, plus dynamics, like what happens. So there's design and then what happens within the game, plus behavioral economics. What are the incentive systems? And we can talk about things like Robin Hood in that context. Motivational psychology, user interface and user experience, and believe it or not, neurobiology, which is, you know, the triggers that we get, the emotional triggers. That's what it is. I mean, it is, and then you wrap it in technology for a business purpose. So if I had to give the long definition, that is what it is. But, you know, the each word in that tells you that this is more powerful than we think it is. And of course, ultimately, human-focused design. Let's switch to this Yukai's framework, which I really liked. It is an octalysis framework, which is, means eight elements to it. Octagon plus analysis, I guess. And this is where I think as we go through this, hopefully we'll all wake up with almost a start and saying, wow, these are elements of gamification. Now, I don't think the companies who have done it actually thought of it like that. But I think the companies of the future must think like that. Hence, every company needs to up their game. So let's take, so number one is he calls it meaning slash, largely meaning, like what is the meaning, intrinsic motivation. You know, he talks about this Apple's Think Different ad. That's gamification. Apple is making you think that you are, and it talks about if you are this type of person, if you want to be different. Apple's first 1984 ad, where the hammer is thrown at IBM, was that. Now, look at Pepsi. What is it selling? Sugared water. Should there be any meaning to it? No. But what was the ad that really took off? Ye dil mange more. So suddenly you are adding meaning to it, and we'll come up with some other examples of this. Then the most simple that we are used to is accomplishments. These are called PBLs, which are leaderboards, right? Points, badges, and all, you know, classic technique, which is used a lot. Very important element, creativity. There has to be some creativity in it. If there is no creativity, it doesn't tend to engage you as much. Best example I got, and again, it's around you every, in Sweden, there's a piano staircase. And it has actually become an exercise tool, because when you're walking up and depending on the note, the music changes. Hmm. It actually makes people run up and down in different ways so that they, and they don't realize they're exercising, because they are trying to be creative and trying to change the notes. So you know, there's that. Kids, interestingly, you ask a kid to learn a periodic table, they are going to probably shoot you. However, if you look at kids' cards games, a lot of them are memory-based.
Yeah.
But they are, because they're enjoying it, they know every damn card. So actually, you'll see, now think about this, flashcards. Periodic table on cards with some game around it. Suddenly you'll see kids master periodic tables. This was the third. Fourth, you have to own it, right? And we'll give some examples. So personalization on these websites, your avatars, these are very important element. You have to be invested in it. Very important, which will come up often, social influence. We are all social animals. The first games, if you remember, that took off were something called MMORPGs, multiplayer, massively multiplayer.
Online role-playing games.
Yeah, exactly. The group buying comes in there, right? And remember that an average person thinks they are above average. And you can really, really, really play to that by using social influence well. And you'll Facebooks, LinkedIns, we can see a lot of that. Scarcity, very important. FOMO, you have to play on FOMO. So FarmVille, a lot of these games, you know, they have a scarcity value, and we'll again give give examples of that. Unpredictability, curiosity. Remember when Pokemon came out? People were, that was Pokemon, right? People are walking around randomly all over because unpredictably, if they knew that with the next move, this will happen, the interest goes away.
Yeah.
Something random has to happen. Right, lots of games. It's the Forrest Gump, you know, life is like a box of chocolates. When you open, you don't know what
element
comes
out. Element of chance is critical.
And we'll talk about using this in credit cards. You know, Chase used this in a credit card where you swipe the card and randomly your meal is free. Will you swipe that card more than the other card you have?
For sure.
Gamification, right? And finally, it's a negative influence, which is loss avoidance, right? So FarmVille used to do that, where you know you're mining and stuff like that, and you don't come back at a certain time, you will lose. Now there, I will come to later why that's not a very good idea of gamification, but that is an example, loss avoidance. So we have gone through eight, just to summarize: meaning, accomplishment, creativity / empowerment, ownership, social influence, scarcity, unpredictability, and loss avoidance. How we'll, when we go through example, you'll see how they are structured differently. So that's one. I asked my kids, since they were the motivation of this, right? I said, why do you guys play games? So they said, well, Dad, it's fun, right? So I said, let's peel that back a little bit more. What does fun really mean? And what it means is, very interestingly, you can do in games what you can't do in real life, okay? There is a creativity, empowerment. There was definitely accomplishment. You can play against others and win, right? Beat other people, competition, you know, so stuff like that. So again, you're seeing that a theme will start emerging when you go down this path. Now,
teamwork is also something that is...
Teamwork or opposite, right? So, but we'll come to that because teams are, you know, very core part of sport, and sport is a game, right? So just putting this framework, eight. Now, you can cut this eight in three different ways. Intrinsic motivators versus extrinsic, and I think it's extremely important. So you and we speak about intrinsic a lot. What of these eight that we discussed, what appealed to you as, you know, for a greater good versus a personal good?
For a greater good, definitely, I mean, social influence is...
Social influence, meaning, empowerment, you know, what we would normally call fluffy terms.
Yeah.
But these are intrinsic. Versus extrinsic, accomplishment, scarcity value.
Ownership.
So mercenary versus missionary, okay? Missionary triggers are much stickier and last longer. games like Farmville. Why do you have hits and misses? They are very focused on extrinsics. They are focused on that scarcity value, all these mercenary kind of things. Very important thing to remember. Left brain versus right brain. Okay, right brain tends to be stickier, which then translates into the techniques you use, which are black hat, white hat. White hat, again, empowerment, intrinsic, right brain. And so this, I think, is critical, because when you analyze the history of gaming and you see some of these things, you realize if you look at Discord, it's giving you social influence. It's giving you probably meaning because it's all around these communities. It is not as much, what did I win today?
Yeah.
I think it might be sticky. Right. Yeah. So I think those are, so now let's summarize. What is gamification? It is, we'll talk about how we apply, but it is essentially wrapping a user's journey. First of all, you'll have to segment your users and then wrapping their journey. Journey could be discovery, onboarding, engagement, and then finally what is required for your business. Wrapping these journeys by applying these principles. And we'll try to, it sounds a little bit too complicated.
That it sounds esoteric, and you know, yeah. I'm sure there are multiple examples we can speak of,
yeah.
both around us in our portfolio, you know, in personal life.
Yeah.
Which ones come to mind first as saying, you know what, like that was an experience
You tell me, just starting very basic, right? We have discussed this framework. We all hear about rewards programs,
yeah.
right? How much of this framework does it apply?
Honestly, very little if you ask me.
It's like accomplishment, some points, yeah, badges,
some points
leaders.
And like, you know, frankly, like, you know, beyond a point, it's a way to give cash back.
And how, the minute you get a better reward, wouldn't you switch?
Yeah, exactly. It's just monetary.
So I think it's very lazy. So I think those are the most basic, but those are everywhere.
Yeah.
Airlines, Starbucks, everything. Next level, think about things that are naturally, maybe add a little bit more meaning, fitness apps, right? You're getting compared to somebody else, maybe it creates a little bit more motivation, right?
Yeah, and you do it in groups, and you know, you and you're motivating your friend to get fitter, they're motivating you to get fitter, so I see it.
Now let's take the examples from social dilemma type of things, right? That's where it starts getting into a little bit of scary territory, and we know all that stuff that's going on with privacy right now, right? Facebook, let's contrast Facebook and LinkedIn, right? So, go on the social parameter, how are they different? We won't go through each of these, but just as an example.
I mean, fundamentally, like the business models are very different.
Yeah, but where is there more intrinsic motivation of influence what is your status?
LinkedIn is for sure much more. Like it's
Facebook is social pressure. LinkedIn is social influence.
Yeah.
So if you had to draw this out, and hopefully people will read his book, Facebook will show narrow in social influence because it's actually sometimes a little bit negative. You almost feel like keeping up with the Joneses and
just posting your holiday pictures all the time.
Yeah. Where is empowerment and creativity more between the two?
Actually, it's a mixed bag. I can see like Facebook for sure because the product lends itself to, you know,
photo albums, showing off wherever you, anytime you go to a nice place, let's get a Patel point and put it up. So we can go through each of them. Where is unpredictability high versus low?
I think for me, like LinkedIn is perhaps also because I just engage with the product more, but you never know when an opportunity, business or otherwise, will show up in your, you know, in
you could say, but I would say it's fairly predictable because it's all professionals.
Correct.
Okay. Versus Facebook, anything can show up on your feed. Right? Like random stuff can show up on your feed. So we can go through all of them. Do either of them give you a lot of meaning?
I think LinkedIn gives me a little bit more meaning.
Yeah. So, but it's not overall very, very high.
Not very high. Yeah.
So how has Facebook been doing in the last few years? Now, I hope this doesn't get to them. But
I guess the narrative is not that positive.
And how has Instagram been doing?
For a while, much more positive, and now...
Because more self-expression, more meaning. Yeah. So, apply these frameworks, and I think you'll end up with some... Look, this is not about answers. This is about asking the right questions. This is about thinking through the right questions, specifically in the context of your users. Facebook missed two generations, millennials and I guess it's Gen Z after that, right? So probably. Now, I think about millennials, or we all talk about millennials a lot, right? We say they are different. Actually, you can apply Okta analysis to, they want more meaning in everything. They want more empowerment, right? To some extent, accomplishment, but accomplishment was much more with the older generations, the baby boomers. We have to do something, we have to win, all of that stuff, right? Now imagine you have a product which is spikes on certain dimensions of Octalysis, and you're wondering why millennials are not adopting it. Therein lies your answer.
Yeah.
The spikes they seek are not the spikes you provide, right? So let's take the most mundane example that I thought was very interesting. Waze, the traffic app. So it was a user-generated traffic app. They created meaning, and this is how you can take a absolutely basic product and wrap gamification. They created meaning by saying, we are fighting the traffic problem together. Guess what happened? Waze would take you to the wrong location, and the user would not get upset. The user would go and spend time fixing that location in that app because it's user generated, because we're solving the traffic problem together. It is just brilliance at some level, right, in thinking through. That's how you brought meaning and ownership, because you are putting in the directions for that place. And you have meaning because we are solving it together. Yeah. We are against, and in the app, there's a monster that shows up, which is the traffic. It doesn't show red, green, like Google, but it used to show up as a monster. So you're fighting the monster together. So it's just this. Now the latest one, I just did a chat with Prabhav Bevkoof, and I've taken his permission to talk about it. So Bevkoof is this consumer product you and I met 10 years ago, I think. Started with t-shirts, now multiple categories. I think he's applied a ton of gamification. I told him, I said, you know, this sounds like something. So he said, well, I have been reading and I have applied it consciously. For a D2C company, and I think a D2C founder should really study this. For a D2C company, he has lifetime, I think, some 20 million downloads of an app. It's app. 83% of the sales come through the app. Used Bevakoof positioning to essentially create a meaning community with meaning, of people who are irreverent. Hum to Bevakoof hi hain, for example, right? It's a light-hearted, fun-poking community. 2.5 million MAUs, 25% WAUs to MAUs. That's like a content site. That's a content site. 83% of sales coming through the app. Now let me tell you gamification examples. Meaning, we talk about fun light. It's in the app, he would have a color of the day, which would just come at 3 p.m. and it would have sale of products of that color for a limited period of time. Now apply the gamification principles. Unpredictability. Scarcity.
Scarcity. Yeah.
Right? Wrapped into meaning. So I just think it is outstanding what has been done. But it can go to the extreme. Tinder, it's the ultimate gamified app. You don't know unpredictability, curiosity, meaning to some extent, but again, it's playing a little bit to the black hat stuff, yeah. Right? But these are all the things.
No, I think the insights, actually now it's gotten me thinking about other industries, but before we get there, actually, it sounds like the reason the first generation of apps, well, not the gaming apps, but basic principles of gamification applied to, you know, social apps and some others, the main reason would have likely been retention and just engagement. Is that the same way to think about the next generation?
For sure. I think engagement for sure. But I think it's more powerful than that. You know, if you think about Roblox, Among Us, Discord, have you seen an ad for any of them anywhere?
Nope.
So I think it's that. I think it is almost a cultish. Gaming people will come to communities, but they have always been cults. Can you create a cult? I would argue that some companies, without applying some of these principles, have that cultish appeal as a, you know, the whole truth seems to have a cult around it. I'm going to speak to Shashank about this later, but I think he can take it. So you have to start with that a little bit. But I think it is more than just retention and engagement. Of course, you should measure MOTS, cohorts, how many people are sharing. But I think the ultimate one is virality and organic growth. And the other big difference which people miss about games versus others, other types of engagement platforms is the concurrent nature. Hmm. I haven't fully figured this out, but I think there is something powerful there. That can you take the concurrent element of a game and apply it? Now, what is PDD? What is group buying?
You are basically sharing offers with concurrent network.
Except it is asynchronous content because you can't expect all of them there at the same time. But think about it. And by the way, now as you're thinking about this, you see how booking.com, it'll say so many
people are looking at this at the same time.
We are being gamed all the time. So only one left, scarcity. Yeah. So just every time kind of apply and it becomes a little bit nerdy, but it's a lot of fun.
The positive examples are very inspiring, but then the negative examples make you worry.
Yeah. By the way, waiting list, classic, scarcity value. So when you start applying it, it becomes fascinating. I think you can apply it to every business. But let's take a more kind of little bit more macro view. So, you know, you have typically, whether it is your naturally competitive apps. By the way, I could argue personal finance is somewhat naturally competitive. You want to do better than the others, right? You compete against yourself. But remember this monkeys throwing darts at the stock board versus experts. So there is a easy, very certain things lend themselves to gamification very easily. Okay, wellness, fitness, personal finance. I could argue education. But if the results, the accomplishment is measured on these PBLs or PLBs, whatever they were, points, leaderboards, you know, badges, stuff like that.
Not sustainable.
I think it's very easy to replicate. And I think that's where most people fall or fail, right? And maybe that's where you do full stack like Peloton and stuff like that. But I think it can be beyond that. Let's take an example of credit cards, right? And we spoke about going through the different stages of a person's journey. And let's try to be white hat about it. So discovery. You know, what is the most famous ad of MasterCard?
Actually, when I was growing up, there's this ad of like basically people showing up in like really different parts of the world and, you know.
For everything else.
Yeah.
Meaning. Yeah. It is trying to appeal to your higher self. Classic gamification of discovery. American Express.
Never leave home
without it. Yeah. You'd remember it. Yeah. These are all appealing to a higher sense, right? So that's the discovery. Then the engagement. We had that Chase example. What do you want? You want the person to use it a lot more?
Never. Yeah.
Put in unpredictability. These rewards are so predictable. I spend 1,000 rupees, I'll get 10 rupees of rewards.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoop-dee, right? I swipe and it says, guess what? It's free for you. Right? Or you have spent the most this month in this category or something like that, right? I think there is a lot that can be done. Just pay their bill, you know, something like that. So I think there are lots of things possible. I'll tell you the core idea. I think the core idea is it has to be your product, your community, and your currency, you know, stuff like that. I'll give you bad examples of gamification other than the black hat. I'm not talking about black hat. Just applying the principles wrong. When IPL was going on, how many companies would have you seen advertising on television with some linkage to something in IPL?
Right.
Some contest, go to xyz.com, fill in this if your team wins. How is that in any way related to your, that's not gamification.
Yeah.
That's random association, right? So just because IPL is a game, and you start some random association with IPL, doesn't mean you have gamified your experience. It has to be your product, your community, what is your engagement, what do you need, and can you build a game through that? Right. So.
No, I think the community's point is interesting, and we've spoken about it in a previous podcast. But I'm trying to think about how it matters here. In some ways, I guess community started off originally with, you know, eBay and e-commerce and something that you would be very familiar with when you started Bazi, I'm sure, you know, the community was something which was, you know, incredibly important to the company. But as I think about like companies today, how does gamification fit with community for the business? Like, I'm thinking through this credit card example and I'm thinking, how does community fit with gamification for credit card or frankly for any of the examples we've discussed?
To me, this is the big idea. I think there are communities and there are games. Which is the tightest community out there?
I mean, if you, the gaming community.
Okay, which are the tightest? Okay, I don't know how to get to that answer, but it's team sports, right?
Yeah, sure.
In sports, you have a team. Or in team sports, you have a team. So, they are so, look at the cricket fans in India, right? So, I think the big idea is, how do you knit your community together through gamification? But not by saying, I am a credit card business, but I'll do it with cricket. I am a credit card business, I'll do it through my credit card business. How do I stitch it together? How do you build that level of loyalty around it? And, you know, gamification sounds esoteric. Community sounds esoteric. We tell all our businesses to do it. This is the first time that when I was doing it, I'm like, wow, this is the way to do it, okay? And the way to do it is to stitch it together, stitch the community together by gamifying it. But for that, you need to start with the community. Now, how do you start with the community? We have had an earlier podcast where we have spoken about customer obsession delight. Communities has to start with first people loving your product. And this is where I think a lot of our D2C brands have a big edge. But what happens is they stop there. They don't even realize that it has formed. You know, I just did the Damage board meeting. I was chatting with them. They have ultimate customer feedback. I think it's a community waiting to be tapped. So to me, it suddenly became, in my head at least, a scalable, repeatable flywheel saying, delight your customer with the products. Delight enough customers with the products. There is a community forming around them. Tap into that community by introducing elements of gamification. That is what will bring them closely together, okay? It could be, and we can take examples, but it could really be leaderboards, meaning, for example, you know, in a brand, a lot of brands are now better for you. That's a meaning, right? So stitch it together and bring in elements of gamification with all of those eight. See how many of those and focus more on the intrinsic than the extrinsic with white hat stuff. But try to build a community together. Once you have that community stitched together with the glue of your product, you will start getting more feedback on your product.
Yeah.
Now the flywheel is turning. You're getting more feedback on your product. Go improve your product and send it back to the this community. I think you have the ultimate flywheel and moat. You know, if you imagine this is just, this thing is just turning and every time it's becoming better and better. And then the community is growing larger and larger. I think it would be the ultimate moat. And I think it's the most deterministic way that I have thought of in this context. Let's just step back in definitionally for a second. The communities that we know about are Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. They all have different either form factors or core value prop. They are generally around a social graph or a professional graph or some graph. I'm saying make it your product graph, your business graph. The thing that binds them together is your product, your business, whatever, and then you stitch it. You know, coming back to the eBay one just for a second, and we had spoken, I don't know if he spoke about Aman of Boat last time, but he calls his community Boatheads. Now, maybe he's also analyzed all of this the way Prabh did. But he said what he did was he started hosting events where they would be invited. He started writing personal notes to them, accomplishment. From the founder, you're getting a note. They started getting extra rewards when they're buying, right? This meaning that we are boatheads. Boatheads are the sophisticated, value conscious, high quality audio, whatever you want to describe it as, sense of community, right? Yeah. So it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, no, I think very exciting. So, I'm actually gonna, I've decided that I'm going to throw googly in now. As I was thinking through different examples, I was thinking now which...
I put my papers down. So this is truly, truly extempore and not rehearsed. And I think I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, I can think of all those examples. You're saying fitness, you know, personal finance, like all of those. I can somewhere now, if I really start thinking, I can apply this framework. And then I was thinking, how am I ever going to apply these principles to an industry like lending, for example?
Yeah.
Or how would I apply these learnings to an industry like just not consumer brands, but like just traditional, you know, commerce kind of models, right? Like pick a category like, I don't know, like electronics or footwear, which I'm not able to.
No, but let's take those examples. Thank you. Those are relatively easy, I think. Electronics, we just had the example of boat heads. But footwear, Allbirds. Allbirds is a community, right? It became a cult. So, which was the first one you said other than these two?
Lending.
Microfinance. Joint lending groups. Empowerment. We are trying to improve our life, right? I think you can. But I think it starts with, I think lending is harder. I think products are easier because with products, let's take Allbirds as an example. I don't know how much of this they do it, but they have been a rage because of a cult. Now, are they applying? There you go. So therein lies the answer. So it is, I don't know how much of these other principles they've applied. But I can tell you that they have a very solid foundation and building block.
Better for the environment?
Is it better
more
for the
comfortable? Environment?
There you go. So I could say, you know, now with work from home coming and all of that stuff. So very easy to build a community around this and then apply all the gamification principles, right? And then start getting free shoes as each of those could be applicable here. Electronics. Probably still can, because I mean, look at why we buy Apple products, right? The gross margins are crazy. Lending, one would have to think a little bit harder. Microfinance is easier. I think lending around expense is harder because it's black hat. It is more extrinsic. Lending around improving lives, which if you look at 5-star in our portfolio of business, I can tell you at eBay, we used to do this stuff, which is X person's income has gone from, or Ola Uber model. This person's income has gone from X to Y, right? I think if it is income generation, and if you ask me, based on this, I would only do an income supplementation or increasing earnings type of lending business. I wouldn't start an expense type of lending business if I were to start again, because I think this framework applies. And when you start realizing that this framework can create an ultimate moat, you would probably choose a business where you can apply this framework. Rather than the other way around, have a business and then say, how do I apply it? It would become my business selection criteria. Because if you remember, we spoke about millennials and you know what all they want. If I'm starting a business for Gen Z or millennials or whoever I'm starting a business for, we have discussed gamification is human psychology. Ultimately, any business, There's a buyer is a human. If I can cater to their intrinsic motivation and psychology and drivers, I can build a great business. So I would first try to understand that within this framework and say, can my business cater to that?
Super. Avi, thank you. This has been really interesting. And
it's actually been a lot of fun for me.
About this topic, that this would be a really creative discussion, and I think it's actually surpassed all expectations. So thank you.
Excellent. Good fun.
Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/blog. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.